In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Oh, come, let us worship the Lord. We pray together the introit. The Lord is merciful and gracious. As for man, his days are like grass.
He flourishes like the flower of the field.
For the wind passes over it and is gone.
And its place knows it no more.
But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. To those who keep his covenant.
And remember to his commandments.
The Lord has established his throne in the heavens.
And his kingdom rules over all.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son.
And to the
Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning,
it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord is merciful and gracious. The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our epistle lesson is from Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please rise out of reverence for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. The great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. We sing the hymn of the day. If you have difficulty understanding parables, take heart. In Luke's version of this text, Jesus explicitly tells his disciples that the purpose of parables is to obfuscate. Jesus says, "I teach in parables so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Yet for you, dear Christians, it has been given to see and to understand. Because as Jesus says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God." In the name of the God who reveals himself in his Son, Jesus Christ, amen. The parable of the sower is one of the only New Testament parables we have explained fully by Jesus himself. And yet confusion still abounds. This is not a parable about how to most effectively spend our missions dollars. It's not an exhortation to do in-depth market research to find out where the good soil is so that we don't waste any seed proclaiming the gospel to the hard-hearted or the worldly. If that were the case, the sower, who is clearly the Christ figure, is terrible at missions work. He recklessly scatters his seed over the path, over the rocky soil, and into the thorns. Neither is this a parable about how you must till the soil of your own heart to make it worthy to receive the word of God. You are farming folk. You know that no field tills itself. Someone has to come and work the field so that it might be planted. As we heard in last week's text, there are two sowers in this world. There is the devil and God. After God created the heavens and the earth, he created man in his own image, with divine righteousness and perfect love. Man's heart was perfectly good soil. Then the devil, with his lies, sowed the seed of doubt and unbelief with the words, "Did God really say?" It took root and immediately bore the fruit of death. The relationship between man and God, between man and woman, was broken. Sin caused the heart of man to be at one time both hardened to the word of God and at the same time susceptible to sprouting thorns and thistles and bad fruit. This original sin is passed down from generation to generation, corrupting man's heart from the womb. For seed bears fruit according to its kind. And Adam and Eve were now sinners, passing on sin, pain, and death to every future generation. No one born according to nature is exempt from this original death-causing sin. It infects us all. But immediately after the fall, God made a promise and became the sower of another seed. The seed of promise that sin's consequences, eternal damnation, would one day be paid for by the seed of the woman. The sower then, throughout history, kept sowing, the devil sowing his lies and God sowing his promises. One sowed evil and sin, the other life, salvation, and faith. The promise was fulfilled when the Son of God became the seed of the woman and was born in human flesh. This is what our parable today is about. Jesus is the sower, God himself who has entered the world, that is, the field. Jesus comes to liberally scatter his seed, which is the word of God that has the power to bring forth life. He came to preach the gospel, to preach the mysteries of the kingdom of God and the good news that God loved all people despite the original and ongoing sin. Yet the wicked sower does everything in his power to prevent this life-giving word from taking root and bearing fruit. Jesus says the seed is the word of God. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Our hearts resist the word of God, and the devil and his minions try to snatch it away from us. They want to prevent the word from taking root and bearing fruit. When St. Stephen preached the gospel in Jerusalem, he was given the honor of becoming the first martyr. The people, in their hardness of heart, stoned Stephen to silence him so that the seed of the gospel would not be planted. His preaching fell on their hard hearts, that is, the seed on the path. The devil attempted to snatch it up by silencing Stephen's preaching. Yet the good sower continued to sow. The devil did not succeed. Because of Stephen's martyrdom, the Christians fled from Jerusalem, and they brought with them the seed of the word everywhere they went. They planted the seed in city after city after city as they went along. So the gospel was not just found in Jerusalem, but in Antioch and Asia Minor and Egypt and beyond. The sower lavished his field with his seed. This is the divine irony. Stephen's martyrdom, meant to snatch away the word of God, spread the word of God. Although the human heart is hardened to the word and the devil snatches the word away, the word of the Lord does not return void. It is from the hearing of this same word that God makes the hard ground of your heart into soft soil. The law crushes the hard stones of the heart, and the gospel fertilizes it and creates faith. In the good soil of faith, which comes from hearing, the seed bursts forth to new life, bearing abundant fruit. So powerful is this word that Paul, who instigated the stoning of Stephen, and who watched approvingly as Stephen was stoned, had his heart shattered on the road to Damascus. The seed was planted, the seed burst forth, and so that today the whole Christian church is edified by the Apostle Paul's ministry. However, snatching away the word is not the devil's only trick. Sin, death, the devil, and the world are not content in trying just to take the word away. But once it has taken root, they want to kill it. Jesus says, "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." Some hear the gospel and immediately believe that Christ has died for their sins. They immediately believe that his innocent suffering and death has forgiven them. They go to church and maybe even Bible study, but they do not allow the word to take deeper root. Perhaps when they hear the law preached, they do not continue to let it break the stones of their own hearts, but they think to themselves, "Wow, my wife really needs to hear this law this morning." But when suffering comes, on account of faith, they quickly fall away. They are happy to be a Christian when it is easy, but not when it requires suffering. The Apostle Peter was zealous for the mission of Christ. When Christ said, "Follow me," he dropped everything. He left his nets, he left his boat, he left his family, and he followed him. While he was with Jesus, he was always the first disciple to speak up. He heard the Sermon on the Mount, witnessed the miracles, cast out demons in Christ's name, and even saw the transfigured Lord on the mountaintop. Peter's faith bloomed. It was Peter who confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Yet when trials came, when Peter would have to suffer for his faith, he denied Christ, not once, but three times. And he fled and hid like all the rest of the disciples. Yet Peter was not lost. Peter fell away for a season, but was restored. The Word made flesh, Jesus appeared to him and asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" One time for each of Peter's denials. And then Christ restored him after crushing the hardness of his heart with his words. He restored him and appointed him to be a pastor, saying, "Feed my sheep." When faced with persecution again, Peter did not flee. He willingly headed to Rome to be crucified and to bear his own cross. Take heart, brothers and sisters. If suffering and trials come to your life, you are not without root. You will not be found without moisture. You have been buried with Christ in baptism. Within you springs up the wells of living water. Your baptism is a constant well of faith, constant water to supply your faith. In the waters of baptism, your root is in the death and resurrection of Jesus. You can make the same confession that Saint Ignatius of Antioch made as he headed to Rome to be devoured by wild animals. "My passionate love has been crucified, and there is no fire of material longing within me, but only water, living and speaking in me, saying within me, 'Come to the Father.'" Now we come to the seed that fell among the thorns. Jesus says, "As for that which was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." The devil and your heart are constantly sowing seeds of sin to try to choke off and kill the word of God. The world plants worries like debt so that you doubt the provision of God. And then your sinful heart spreads the fertilizer of reckless spending on top of it. Our hearts plant the seed of habitual sins and then fertilize it with self-justification. This can be seen in the all-too-common vice of pornography in our day. At first, we feel guilty, and then a little less guilty because it is an all-too-common sin. Then we convince ourselves that it is barely a sin at all. At this point, we are denying Christ's very words. "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." If we say that what Christ has said is sin is not sin, then we are on the cusp of choking out faith and putting it to death. We are on the cusp of rejecting the word of God altogether. All along, the thorny plants grow, wrapping itself around faith, rejecting the word. The seed of sin grows in the heart until it chokes out the seed of faith. How are the weeds of sin dealt with? You might be starting to notice a trend. Once again, it is the word itself that will overcome the thorns. The word of the law kills the thorns, and the word of the gospel removes them from the field entirely. Through the forgiveness of sins, the thorns are cleared from the field, and the shoots of life are nourished. This brings us to the final group. Jesus says, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. No heart is by nature the good soil. Each and every one of us has a heart of stone that only bears thorns and thistles. But the sower who enters the field is the word made flesh. He is the seed. The seed of the woman rips up the thorns of sin, and he wears them as a crown upon his own head, bearing the lacerations in his own flesh until he is choked off from breath. When he is planted into the ground, into the tomb, he shatters the rocks, breaking the power of sin. And in his resurrection, he is the new shoot that springs up and produces a bumper crop. The fruit of Christ's resurrection will be the resurrection of Stephen and of Peter and of Saint Ignatius and of all the saints. For he is the first fruits from the resurrection of the dead. He is the seed that grows up in our hearts to new life. Through his word, Jesus makes your hearts the good field. The sower plants in your hearts the word, which is himself, so that new life may spring forth in you, so that you may be the fruit of the resurrection and live with him forever in his kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." The ushers may come forward to receive the offering. Please rise for the singing of our canticle hymn. Let us pray. Almighty God, hear the prayers of your people, grant to us all things needful and beneficial, and keep from us all things harmful. Holy Lord, mighty God, you are the strength of the hills and the hope of the ends of the earth. Give to our hearts your perfect peace, that we may not be anxious, nor live in fear, but rest all our hopes, dreams, and dire desires upon your merciful goodness. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, mighty God, you send forth water upon the earth that it may bring forth abundant fruit and feed our bodies with all we need. Send forth rain unto the fields of this congregation. Help us to be wise and faithful in the use of the rich bounty of the earth, that the poor may be supplied and that we may never fail to give thanks to you for all you have given us for this body and life. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, mighty God, your word will not return to you empty, but will accomplish your purpose in sending it. By your Holy Spirit, make our hearts good soil for your word to be planted, that we may give evidence of a sturdy faith and show forth in our lives the good works you have called us to do. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, mighty God, your Spirit accompanies the witness of your people who speak your word before the world. Grant success to the missionary and mission planter and every pastor and church worker, that those who hear may believe and those who believe may bear the good fruit of faith in their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, mighty Lord, you have given power to the nations and those who govern to act for the good of your people. Bless our President Donald, the Congress, our governors, and all those elected and appointed to lead us, that justice may prevail and your people may be free to live at peace with all people. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, mighty Lord, you know how weak and frail we are. Give to those afflicted in mind, body, or soul the fullness of your healing grace, that according to your will they may be restored to health. Hear us for all those suffering or recovering from the pandemic's rages, for those who have requested our prayers, especially Esther, Jim, Joyce, Michelle, Aubrey, Sean, Austin, David, Barbara, Ruth, Barbara, Ryan, Charlotte, Mia, Wanda, Waylon, Janice, Kenny, Patricia, Jeff, and Nikki. Lord, in your mercy, Holy God, mighty Lord, you have granted us great riches and gifts. Keep our hearts from being overburdened by the things of mortal life, whether in time of plenty or in time of want. Deliver us from the persecution and sustain us from all tribulation, that our hearts may ever be fixed upon the true treasure of your grace. Accept the tithes and offerings we bring as part of our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for all your goodness. And Lord, in your mercy, in him, with him, and through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, both now and forever. Amen. Trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, our heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. I got an email from Pastor Patterson. He says that his vacation is going well, that it is very relaxing. So hopefully he will be bright and chipper for you guys at the beginning of next month when he returns. I guess I'm here with you at least one more week. He'll be back the first weekend of August. So I just want to thank you once again for giving me the privilege of getting to spend this time with you guys and to serve and worship with you guys. I was asked to point out this bulletin insert that you have in your bulletin. The 175th anniversary committee is asking for you to give a vote on what kind of item you would like to have to commemorate the 175th anniversary of this congregation. So fill that out, and let's see here, does it say where to put it? Turn ballot box. By the usher stand by August 2nd. So go ahead and do that. Contemplate whether you want an awesome t-shirt or sweatshirt or so on so forth. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Okay, the Lord's peace.